This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Law,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club.
Hey, wrestling fans, Mr. Technical here, Barry Horowitz.
Listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback with Phil and Jay. And that pain in the ass, Choppy.
This is Bob Orton, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey, this is Colt Cabana, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain-in-the-ass Choppy. What kind of name is Choppy? Ugh.
All right, this is Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain-in-the-ass Choppy.
Hey, guys, WWE Hall of Famer, the Godfather here. And I want to shout out to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. That's Big Phil, our favorite Jay. And let's not forget that pain in the ass Choppy.
This is Dan Spivey, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback with Phil and Jay. And that pain in the ass Choppy.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
Hey, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy, yeah, on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is former WCW wrestling star Glacier. Make sure to tune in to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, that big pain in the butt Choppy. So make sure you tune in before blood runs cold on you.
This is Doc Gallows and the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy. And that's just
too sweet ski.
This is Great Muta, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Rhea, and that pain in the ass Choppy on Lightning M Radio.
Hey, this is Greg the Hammer Valentine, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hi, I'm Harvey Whippleman, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy.
This is the new F and Joe, Jerry Lynn, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy.
This is Mark Merrill, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy.
What's up? This is Mark here, the World's Strongest Man, and I'm looking for my son, Rage. And you're watching Turnbuckles and Throwbacks with Jay and that son of a bitch, Choppy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the villain Marty Sko, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy. Ha 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 ha!
I am the Mountie, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
I am Jacques.
And I'm Raymond.
And we're the fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
And you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rhea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Okay, this is Steve Kern, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy.
Yeah, I hope everybody tunes in to the podcast Throwback.
Turnbuckle
Throwback. I know it, because it's been done to me so many times. But Turnbuckle Throwback, tune in to the podcast.
Hey, it's WWE legend, Native American Tatanka, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Somebody says about Tommy Wildfire Rich. And hey, you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Paul, and Jay, and the pain in my ass, Choppy.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
We're the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
I just cut you off.
Yeah, you just cut me off.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rantum. Rantum. Rant EM. Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
Perfect.
That's it. That's
perfect.
This is dedicated to three people, my mother, my father, and Terry Funk, who is the GOAT. I dream of this moment, and I don't want to cry because I don't want to be emotional, but after 21 years of fighting, you think that sometimes you're not going to get it. You know, sometimes you think you're wasting your time. I want to tell every kid in the world, I'm not supposed to be here. I was a street kid who did dumb stuff. I should have been killed. I should have been in jail, but I didn't because of pro wrestling. Because of Japanese pro wrestling kept me going. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I don't have nothing else I can say but just thank you. And I would defend this championship with my life. With my life. Thank you, everybody. I gotta go. Arigato gozaimasu. Please, thank you.
This is Claudio Castagnoli, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. We now state emphatically it's happy anniversary. Not another day could be a happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy, happy. Happy, 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 happy anniversary.
All right, knock it off.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EM Radio.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Episode 484 of Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, our 11th year in service. How are you? How's everybody doing? It's been a little bit of a minute. Is it a little bit of a minute? I don't even know if that makes sense. It's been a hot minute, as the kids would say, right? And I, as always, for the last 11 years, I am the gracious host, the Yoda of yesteryear, the Messiah of memories, the intellectual, retrosexual, the impact player, Mr. Philly Ray. And it's Saturday night, and I'm feeling all right. And I waited a couple of days because I wanted to watch some things and play some things and reflect on some things. And it's been a rough several months here at Studio P. But I'm pretty transparent with you guys. I don't pull shit back. I'm not that dude. And for me to hold something back is rare. Only because I physically cannot do it. Like, I can't do it. So with everything going on in my life, between work and the podcast and my personal life, you know, I this has been on a back burner, and I'm sick of saying I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna stop. Right? I told you that a million times already. I'm not gonna stop. And 11 years now, and it's been. I was listening to the. I was mixing down the intro and the commercial break and all that before I started. And I have that clip that we played from last year, and I'm going to play it again this year. And it's all the guests that jumped on for us, whether it was Ron Singh or Robin Lane getting it for us, or Jay getting one. Choppy got a few. I got a few of those drops from all the old school wrestlers and current wrestlers. And it's been a journey, you know, and I actually just had a conversation with Michael's mom, my ex-wife, the other day, and I was like, you know, it's been, the only thing that's been consistent is the podcast, besides my job. And she was happy for me because she knew how much I loved it, and she supported me, you know, when things were good. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy that you guys got to see Michael grow up. Got a text from Nick German the other day, and seeing his boys, like, it's just ridiculous how these kids are getting so big. And I'm watching families grow and get married, and you know, and all of our friends. And I just, you know, it's been wonderful. And just the families, though, like, you know, Tony's kid, like, he's a machine now, you know. He's a little younger than Hammer, I think. But, like, all these kids are getting big, and they're, like, grown-ups now, and Matt got married, and, like, everybody just, like, grew up, and it was just, it's been fucking cool, actually. It's been fun, and even through the bad stuff, it's been really fun, too, you know? I'm sorry, I got a little emotional, because I just thinking about everything that I've done out here on the island. You know, I'm not even a year into living here, and I started the podcast, you know? And for those who don't know, I started it in 2012, July 3rd, my sister's birthday, Tony Lynn. And that wasn't by design. It just happened to be the day I was home from work. And I did it on my ex's, 10-year-old computer and a $3 microphone that I got on clearance from Best Buy. One of those long, magic wand-looking motherfuckers, right? And Kevin Castle, my buddy, my pal, my homie for the last almost 30 years. Kevin said, anybody who should do a podcast, it's Phil Ray. And I'm like, I don't, and I was very humble when he said it, because him and DT were killing it at that point. They were just getting into the podcasting. They were getting away from the call-in shit, right? And they were just getting their shit together. And they were the first ones to really get it going, them and the Soup, and, you know, and then the Wizards right after that. So, you know, I jumped in with everything. I started doing it. And it was called In the Dog Pound for a few episodes. Then I changed it to Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and then I did it for like 20-something episodes on myself. And then I got the Mega Powers, Dave Powers. Dave did it with me for a couple of years, and then he split. And then we got Kid Human. I knew Scott from the hardcore scene, and then I knew Scott from the 110 crew. And Scott's a Queens guy, and he lives in Virginia. And we did it remotely, and it was worked out for a while, and then that blew up in our faces because outside forces were fucking with us and you know, other, it's like shenanigans, and I just couldn't deal, and he couldn't deal. So, you know, we parted ways, but, you know, we squashed the beef. We were good. We, you know, we're pals, you know, and he always supports us, and I'm thankful he's still around and giving us a good word every couple. Matter of fact, he even dropped audio for us, I think, last year, the year before, for the anniversary. So, you know, Scott's good people, man, you know. And then, of course, I got Choppy. Choppy was a fan of the show. Choppy lived on Staten Island. And we became really good friends. And, you know, he became the co-host. And 5 years we ran with that. And then he had the longest tenure, you know, and we became really good friends. And, you know, I'm godfather to his youngest, and you know, we hung out. We did a lot of things together, and then we met Jay through a girl I was dating, and Jay was at a barbecue with us, and he sat down. He got really drunk, and he was like, "Yo," and then he started talking. I called Choppy. I'm like, "This kid is solid, man. We should get him involved." And we always like to have that third person sometimes, you know. Whether it was Hammer or one of the Domingos or my brother or anybody who came in and hung out with us. And, you know, that was cool, too. And we had Jay for a while, about 2 years. And then last year, everything just fell apart. Choppy stepped away a year before that and then decided to come back and then did, like, a couple episodes and he split again, citing work and whatever, and then Jay just, after Christmas last year, I haven't even heard from Jay, not a text, not a call, since Christmas of last year, so, it's been me, and it's back to me, and here we are, 484 episodes later, and there's so many people there's many people that behind the scenes that help us. But I really first want to thank the Shining Wizards, Matt, Kevin, Tony, my brother. They're all my brothers, but Tony and I were the same age, and Tony knows a little more about me than the rest of the guys do, you know, and he's been an integral part of behind the scenes and helping me with audio, video equipment nonsense through the years, and he's helping me with the website now, with the .com, and I was the first show on the Shining Wizards Network, you know, so I'm pretty blessed to be a part of those guys, and I love them to death, and they do wonderful things, and they have a great community as well, and we have a network of shows throughout the years. The Midnight Jury, of course, Inconclusive Radio, and the Canada Crew, Radioactive, Wrestling Night in Canada. It's Uncle Snowy and his crew. And as we each added a bunch of new shows, you know, I'm not really, I tell people, my friends, like, well, you know, I have friends here, like, you know, you have all these friends. I'm like, but they're not really your friends. I'm like, why? Because we don't hang out, because they don't live here. They're my friends, you know, they're my pals. And through this show, I've met people around the world, the UK contingency, Scotland, England, Australia, I can't, all my boys and girls over there that do their thing and support us, like, I can't tell you, we've had friends of the show since the first month I've done this, and they're still listening, and they still support me, and they still support the show, and they buy shirts, you know, so I just appreciate that, and it doesn't go unnoticed. If I don't tell you all the time, it's because I'm just forgetful. And I should be writing more shit down because I'm going to be 50 next year and it sucks, you know? But this is such is life, right? And what we've done is we built this community of people. And people have come and go and they come back. But there's the Uptown Georgies and you know, there's Matt Squires and he's my brother now. It's like these people have been intricate parts of the show, you know. I met Rob and Elaine through Mega Powers, and Mega Powers isn't around anymore. I met Mickey through Mega Powers, through Mickey's brother Mario. These dudes are just solid brothers. True, you know, we hang out, we go to events together, we kick ass, you know. We're good, and they're just good-minded people, good souls, and just wonderful at what they do in their life and how they treat me and my son. And I just, you know, even though I'm alone a lot, I'm really not alone. So thank you very much. And Shaylin, and there's so many people. And then I joined the rant in 2013, and they let me do the live thing forever. And AA has been a close confidant of mine. And we've hung out. Tony C and I have hung out. Surfer and I have hung out. I'll be in Baltimore next month, Lee Champion, for like 2 or 3 days. So if you're around and you're listening to this shit, you got to give me a call. I'll be staying at one of the Marriotts. It's not room 806 though, but I'll be staying in Inner Harbor. So, but I've hung out with, you know, Enrage and Mr. X and. I just spoke to Sugar Shane the other night, man, like through Messenger. Like, just solid dudes, man. Solid girls and guys, and just fucking, you know, and the Soup guys and Chunky Larry and his crew. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you how blessed I am and fortunate doing this for 11 years. It's insane. The only thing I've done more than this is my career. I mean, I played hockey for 20-something years, but I guess that counts too. But, like, consecutively, I stepped away from hockey and came back every couple of years when I was, you know, working or, you know, joined a ball league or some shit, right? Roller or ice. And I was doing that, you know? But this is the only thing I've done, like, consecutively, you know? It's been a fucking ride. It's been a ride, and I'm so fortunate. So, you know, there's so many people I want to thank, and like I said, the UK guys, Baza and Muzz and Natalie and Phil Dennett, you know, our Australian crew, all those kids. I forgot the names already. I have already written down. It's been insane. And every once in a while, I'll get a check in. Hey man, what's going on? How are you? We miss you. We miss the show. And here I am, so 11 years later, and it's been a blast. My son is 16 years old, if you believe that shit. And you know, we're not his favorite podcast anymore because he's grown up and he's found kids who do goofy shit on the internet. So even though we're not his favorite podcast anymore, he's still part of the podcast. He's still part of the crew, and I'm not gonna hold it against him. But Ron Singh, who I'm in debt to tremendously, you know, thank you for your help behind the scenes too. And I know I thank Matt Squires already, but if you guys knew what Matt did for us behind the scenes, Robin Aline behind the scenes, you know, like these guys are solid. And I mentioned the Wizards before. I forgot to mention Eddie because Eddie's not part of the crew anymore, but Eddie does still support the show. He still messages me. And he still talks about wrestling with us, and Eddie's was an intricate part of it. I was in the car with Eddie the night they talked about forming a network. They were driving me home from Thanksgiving show, you know. And I got a text from Matt the other day, like, hey, I'm having a party, you know, come through. And the Mark Order kids, they're fucking great. So shout out to them. Shout out to all our folks in Canada. You know. And just, I can't begin to tell you how blessed I am and thankful I am. And I'll keep saying it, and I keep repeating myself, and I'm not even fucking sorry about it, you know? but I guess this is like a state of the podcast address real quick, but I guess moving forward, I am going to do more shows. Mickey's going to come back and do some shows. He's been in my ear. He wants to do, he has some more ideas, and I told him absolutely. I've had guys step up and say, hey, I want to help, you know, I want to do some shows. And I just, you know, it's part of its motivation. My depression is crippling. My depression is just crippling, and there are days where I don't want to do anything, especially this. It took me 2 days just to set this up. That's how fucking miserable I've been, you know. But I did watch a lot of wrestling. I watch wrestling almost every day. I bought a video game. We'll get into that. I opened the show with the Fred Flintstone thing I always do, and I opened the show also with the Eddie Kingston promo that he just won the strong title from Kenta, two of my favorite wrestlers in the last 5 years, from the two Independence Day shows, July 4th and 5th from Currican Hall. And that promo poured out so much emotion in me. That's why I played the Bulls anthem with Sick of It All with that, you know? Because, you know, I didn't want to be a wrestler as a kid like Eddie did, but I was a street kid. And I made a lot of terrible decisions, and I did some stupid shit, and I was at a right place at the right time, and a lot of bad things happened to some bad people that I was with, and I just stepped away and decided to be a geek and be a nerd about things, and I was not into all the shit that I was getting into because I wasn't rebelling. My home life sucked, but I wasn't lashing out. I just wanted to fit in somewhere. Whether it was with the jocks, with the graffiti writers in the hoods, and you know, the drug dealing kids, and you know, and then all the Dungeons and Dragons kids who I wound up hooking up with, all the comic book kids and all that, and who I wound up staying with because they were the only kids that had that street in them, but they didn't have that street with them, you know. And when you have a terrible childhood, and it's like you're being cared for, not cared about, these people are your family. And that's why I embrace this podcast family the way I do, because it, for me, it's just an outlet. I spend a lot of time alone, and you know, your mind is a terrible thing when you let it take space in, certain things take space in you, and you let it manifest. You know, I have a great relationship that I'm working with, you know, and that's been a struggle too, because I hardly see her and it's complicated, but it's like, I know in my heart that I'm cared about, but here I am on a Saturday night alone. So you tell me, if that's just, I don't know, man. I all I know is that this thing is all I have that's consistent, and I'm not going to walk away from it. Dead set on not what's the word I want to use? Not interested anymore. Maybe is that the word I want to use? I don't know if that's the thing. I don't know. I do know that I love this. And I love pro wrestling. And I watched the two Japan shows. And then while that was going on, I worked 4th of July this year. And I bought the AEW video game. And I must tell you, it's fun. It's very old school. There are a couple of flaws in it. I like the ring entrance. They don't have that. It gets cut off. They're adding characters, which is fun. And it's the controllers are like very old school, which for me is fine because I hate pushing 17 buttons for fucking one hold. It's annoying. I don't play video games anymore, really. So I bought it because everybody else bought it, and then the kid bought it. My hammer bought it, so I'm like, you know, just in case if everybody wants to play, here I am. Yeah, I'm ready to go, you know. So I got that. I loved it, and I've been loving AEW. I've been loving WWE. Money in the Bank was fantastic. The Bloodline thing is fantastic. We just had the anniversary of the NWO yesterday. I can't believe it. It's crazy. Shout out to my cousin Richie and his podcast, Spanning the Globe, with those Built the Belt guys. And that's been my Thursday jam. I come home from work and I plug those guys in. And I've been listening to them, Mark and my cousin. And you know, it's I try to keep up with everybody and stay in the community because it's important. And the subculture that we have, the podcasting and the belts and the figures and all that, is just, it's another, add another layer to this wonderful genre that we have, you know? And if I had more room, I live in a one-bedroom apartment. If I had more room, I would probably be bankrupt, you know? And well, living in New York, I'm almost bankrupt now as because of everything that's so expensive. I bought 22 things today in a supermarket. It cost you over $100. What the fuck is wrong with these? And I'm just, I don't want to complain like that, but it's, again, I live in New York, so it's my fault. You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to do, right? But, yeah, wrestling's been so much fun, man. I just finished watching Collision tonight. CM Punk and Joe tore it up. That was pretty good. The tag team match was fantastic with FTR and BC Gold with Jay White and Juice Robinson. So, I just, you know, I didn't watch SmackDown this week. I usually watch SmackDown 2 on Fridays. I didn't watch SmackDown last night. I was actually out, believe it or not. And last month I went to the movies. I went to go see Spider-Man and I went to go see, what else did I see? Transformers and Indiana Jones came out, but I didn't see it yet. Maybe I'll go tomorrow. So I've been trying to keep busy and, you know, I'm playing Strat and I resurrected my printer so I can try to print out some cards and play some hockey, but, pulled out the printer today and I guess the ink dried up. I have to go buy ink. So I was like, why isn't it? I kept printing out blank pages. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? This is insane. So there we go. So, and that's my story. What else is going on? What else is anything new and exciting? I spoke to Hammer today. He's got a job. He's got a summer job. That's why he didn't come over tonight. I was making dinner. And what else is going on? I mentioned Strat. Work is insanely busy. We're understaffed. So I've been killing myself there. But I've been working earlier shifts because we have some open shifts. People had quit and people were moving around in the schedule. So I've been, doing that. And why did I just lose my screen for? There we go. So it's just been, you know, I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to... You know, I've been watching. The Mets are making a nice little run. At the end of the half, they were terrible the last 2 months. So baseball's been fun to watch, and I've just been catching up on shit, man. Dark Side of the Ring has been fantastic. This last season, Tammy and Candido and Matt Bourne, Junkyard Dog. They did Magnum TA. Now they're doing Adrian Adonis on Tuesday. I'm very excited about that. I'll probably talk about that on the next show. But, yeah, I do watch a lot of wrestling. I watch a lot of TV. So, and my throwback this week is going to we're revisiting the Bash from 88. So, the commercial break is not your regular commercial break this time. It's going to be a couple of minutes long. It's a bunch of promos from the event. And we'll go right into the throwback. But, yeah, there's not much else is going on, man. I wish I had a more exciting life. You know? I was busy, like, most of the spring with TV because it was, you know, it was hockey playoffs and basketball playoffs and shit like that, you know? So now SummerSlam is coming up. I'm excited about that. I'll actually be in Baltimore. I'll actually be... A couple of blocks away from tonight's throwbacks old venue. I'm excited about that. I like going to Baltimore, man. Baltimore is a great town for pro wrestling. So when I go there, I get really nostalgic, you know. I'm going to see a baseball game for my birthday this year. And this is my last year of being in my 40s. So I'm kind of feeling it emotionally and physically. So I'm trying to, like, it's time to reflect. And that's what Turnbuckle Throwbacks does best, right? We reflect. And we, you know, I have to reflect. And this is going to be a thing where hopefully I can get back on a better schedule, get myself to a routine again, and feel better about what I'm doing with everything, whether it's my hobbies, my life, my job, you know, shit like that. So usually I have this huge anniversary show, and this year we didn't do it, and it bummed me out because I don't want to do it alone. And I wound up doing it alone because, you know what, no one else is going to do it. So, you know, if you want something done, you got to do it right. You want to do it, you got to do it yourself. And I'm not bitter. Let me rephrase that. I'm kind of bitter about how everything went down, but I understand. So I'm not mad at these guys. We're not friends anymore. You know, it's just that no one took it as seriously as I did because they have wives and girlfriends and kids and jobs, and I don't have the wife and the steady kid anymore, and I only have the job, and this is all I have. So I guess on that end, I had to look at it like that. I guess if I was still married, maybe we'd have that, we all be having the same conversation, you know. But we're not. So, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So that's pretty much how it's going to go down. What else is going on? I wrote stuff down. I said everything I want to say, and there's nothing else to say. Well, there's always something to say, but I don't know. That's pretty much the shtick of it. I did mention I had some shows lined up, working on that, and looking forward to my vacation after I get back from Baltimore. Just a week of doing nothing, which is dope. And, you know, just trying to stay, you know, stay busy. Keep my mind right. It's hard, man. Got a text from Matt Spock the other day, and he was, like, thanking me for stuff. And about how things I approach. And I'm not going to get into the whole conversation, but I told him I'd do it purposely because I don't know any other way. And I'm having a really hard time, and the medicine helps, and there's, listen, I don't want to be the advocate, like, oh, you know, if you're feeling a certain way, go talk to somebody, and I wish I didn't have to tell anybody that, but I need to, you know, if you can't work it out on your own, talk to a professional about your problems, talk to someone, if you're spiritual, talk to someone, you know, talk to a clergy, like a priest or a pastor or a monsignor. You could do that. You could talk to your doctor and they could refer you to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the cool thing to do, right? If you can't do the other thing, you know. And if it's an insurance thing, there's all these free things. Just look them up online. There are always people out there looking to help. Listen, I am mentally in bad shape. What I try to do is I prioritize certain things I learned in therapy, like what's important in my life and how I approach them. And that was my problem. I was feeling more than I was thinking. And you can't feel your way through life. You have to actually think about shit and put things into perspective and be like, okay, I'm angry, but why am I angry? I'm happy, but why am I happy? I'm sad, but why am I sad? And get to those problems and then work it out, okay? If it's deep-rooted and you can't talk about it if you can't work it on your own, talk to somebody. Go get the help. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's rough. It's rough, and sometimes I don't want to talk to somebody. I just want to, like, just let it go and forget about everything and call it a day, but that's the easy way out. And I realized that nothing is easy in this world. Nothing. Nothing is easy. The path that I chose was not easy, and I believe I was put in that position for a reason, to challenge myself every single day of my life, and everything is a challenge. Even this podcast is a challenge. because I have to, you know, I feel like I have to keep up with the Joneses. You know, when I started this shit, there were only a few people. Now there's thousands of wrestling podcasts, and every genre has a podcast, you know. Every celebrity, athlete, musician, they all got fucking podcasts now. But the OGs are still here, and we're still doing it. We're doing it for you guys, and we're doing it as a labor of love. We make no money out of this. I had a Patreon for like 2 weeks, and I stopped it because I wasn't going to be able to record extra stuff, and I wasn't going to be able to give you guys any more than what I'm giving you now, and I felt like, you know, I'd be punishing you guys by doing that. If you're paying me and I can't help, I have this equipment that's outdated. I would love to get new equipment. I'm not asking anybody for money. I'll get it when I get it, and I'll take care of it. And when I decide I don't want to do this anymore, I won't do it anymore. But I could walk away from it knowing that I did it to the best of my ability, and I did it because I love it, and I did it because I love talking to you guys about pro wrestling. That's just how it is. Pro wrestling is my mistress, man. No matter how bad she is, she always comes back. You know? Never goes away. Always comes back. So, that's pretty much how that goes. All right, so here's the deal, okay? You're going to get a break of several minutes. It's not the commercials this time, so I apologize to all of our shows that we have plugs for. But this is the anniversary show, and I don't give a shit. And you'll get over it. I love you guys, but I'm not playing your commercials this week. I'm playing a promo-based commercial break. And then what we'll do is, then we'll do the throwback. So, again, from the bottom of my soul, thank you so much for everything for the last 11 years. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for supporting me and my co-hosts and our crews and our podcast affiliates and our podcast networks and all the other shows. Just know that you're truly appreciated and you're truly loved. And if there's anything I can do besides what I'm doing now, if it's in my power to do it, I'll do it. Because you guys are worth it. So God bless you guys. And I'm going to take a quick break. That's not really a quick, but I'm taking a break. And we're going to plug our friends. Nope, we're not plugging our friends. See, I got, you know, I'm joking. But we're going to plug the throwback, which we're going to be revisiting. So the price for freedom. The price for freedomversary. That's the name of the show this week. Episode 484, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I'm Phil, and I'll be right back. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
We're here! We're at the greatest wrestlers and the greatest wrestler promotion, Jim Crowder Promotions and the National Wrestling Alliance. We set the example of wrestling perfection, and now Baltimore, we get to tell our Duke, Kevin Sullivan. I don't think you know what you got yourself into by messing with Jimmy Garvin. He came in and said, hey, will you guys help me out and help me kick Kevin Sullivan's butt and whoever he brings in to tell him to? And we said, we'd be more than happy to help you get rid of Kevin Sullivan. Ain't that right, Hawk?
Kevin Sullivan, look into these eyes. Imagine what these eyes have seen. Look at these hands. Imagine what these hands have done in my life. Kevin Sullivan, do you think you're smart? Well, we don't. We think you're dumber than a sack of hammers. You want to make a Tower of Doom match involving the Legion of Doom? Why don't you just give us some sledgehammers, lay your head on a stump, and let us mash your matter? You're not a very smart man, Kevin Sullivan. I gave you credit a long time ago for being smart, but when you ingeniously developed this match, I begin to realize you weren't a genius, Kevin Sullivan. You're not a smart man at all. Dr. Death, Ronnie and Jimmy Garvin, and the LOD? That's not a winning combination for you. That's a winning combination for us. Tell them, Paul.
You know, David, when my boys are good, they're very good. And when they're bad, they're very bad. Right, Animal?
Right.
David Crockett!
After we're done kicking Kevin Sullivan's butt, we're going to watch a fellow Chicagoan with Thunderbolt Lex Luger become the new World's Heavyweight Champion. We snack on danger, we dine on death, and Kevin Sullivan and company, dead men don't make money.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember there's still time for you to be part of the Great American Bash. Let's go to the ring. I heard the question. What allegiance does Barry Windham have? I think the allegiance Barry Windham has is to himself.
Well, I think there's everything that needs to be put into proper perspective right at this moment, David. You know, there have been a lot of claims made, but the truth is that tomorrow night in Baltimore is sold out. There are no tickets to be bought. There are almost 10 million homes in this country that have the potential of picking up the phone and say, I want to sit here in the comfort of my home, do something to that cable box, whatever buttons you want to push, and send me a bill next month. I'll pay it, but I want to watch the Great American Bash on my TV at home. 10 million people have that potential. And when you multiply 3 to 4 people on the average sitting around that TV in each of those homes, tomorrow night will be the most watched night of wrestling in the history of the sport. Now consider the magnitude of that. And it's very easy to understand why. First of all, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson will defend the World Tag Team titles against Sting. And I don't even know who is part. It doesn't really matter. Because it's obvious that it will be the toughest test for Tully and Arn. Also, the Tower of Doom. You've got 3 cages up to the ceiling, and in the bottom is Patty or Precious, whatever you want to call her, holding the key to the fate of one of 2 individuals. And which way is it going to go? I wouldn't want to call it. But obviously, there are a lot of people are going to get hurt and possibly laid out before that issue is settled. The ultimate confrontation. The man they say that was born to be the next world champion, Lex Luger, facing the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, bar none, Nature Boy Ric Flair. And then the match that they're saying is the teacher and the student. And Barry Windham, one thing that I've been listening week in and week out that I've heard Dusty Rhodes say, he taught you everything but one thing, and that was how to lose. But you've never been a loser, you never will be a loser, so he never ever needed to teach you that.
JJ, I'll tell you what. This is something that I have waited for my entire life. Dusty Rhodes, you are not the teacher anymore. I waited my entire life for this night to come along because you knew that it would happen sooner or later, and I always knew. When I stood in your shadow, I used to always look up at you and say, one of these days, pal, the day's here! The United States Championship is on the line, and you are not going to walk out of the Baltimore Civic Center with the championship because it's sold out. All of your fans know that you're not going to walk out with the championship. They are afraid that the dream is dead. And that's exactly what it is. The dream is dead. You're going to go home. You're going to cry on your wife's shoulders. Your children are going to cry for you because Barry Windham, somebody that was so close to you, is going to hand you the biggest defeat in your life, and you're not going to be able to hand it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to watch it. Call, please, right now.
I've been watching this television show here for the last 30 minutes, and I got to say one thing to my brothers. There's a lot of brothers sitting out there right now saying, what is pay-per-view television? What is that, on the air, live and in color, is it in public, if you will? The bottom line is, pay-per-view television is you sit there drinking beer with your old lady, flop down a little bit of money in the air-conditioned room, and you watch the greatest extravaganza of all time, because tonight is my night. Tomorrow night is my night. Monday night is my night. Tuesday is my night. The legendary Dusty Rhodes takes Barry Windham to the limit. U.S. title comes back to the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. That is the price of freedom. Right here is the price of freedom. We are ready for the Great American Bash. Me and the good doctor.
Go on with your bad self, Dusty. I'm so fired up. He's got me excited. You know the Tower of Doom, the 3 tiers. You know, I promise Jimmy that no one will touch Precious. Not one sane. The men I'm with, we fear no evil. Because we have walked down the valley of death because we are the meanest SOBs around.
Yeah, all right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night in Baltimore, coming up, the World Heavyweight Champion, Ric Flair. We want to hear what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, when you watch tomorrow night, you're going to witness this man Lex Luger go up against the world heavyweight champion Ric Flair. All the talking's over. It's going to take place in that ring tomorrow night.
You know, David Crockett, it's been a long wait for the total package, Lex Luger. We've gone a long road together, Nature Boy. I was once a big fan of yours. Nature Boy, with that charisma, that appeal, that smile, that wardrobe, those limos, those jets. Nature Boy, you have lived the lifestyle of the rich and famous. You have been a great champion. But sooner or later, you knew that someone a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and a little bit better would come along. So you made me wait. And you made me wait. Oh, I'm going to take it off. And I'm going to take it out on you, Nature Boy, in just a few short hours. Because you see, the total package Lex Luger, since he was this high, was born and raised and trained to be a champion. And you have denied me that opportunity. But the denial is no more, Nature Boy, because of Baltimore, Maryland. You've got to finally walk that aisle with those butterflies in the pit of your stomach. And you, Nature Boy, have to step through those ropes and face the reality of the total package. I have a destiny to meet, and that's to be the next World Heavyweight Champion. And Nature Boy, there will be no stopping me. Baltimore, Maryland is a spot. Millions of viewers all over the world. A sold-out arena. And there's one reason. Because they know something big's going to happen, too. I know it. They know it. You know it.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Baltimore, pay-per-view. Watch it. Here it is. The World Heavyweight Championship. The coveted belt. Everyone all over the world wants it. Tomorrow night in Baltimore, pay-per-view, the World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair, Lex Luger. It's going to come down. There's one man is going to win.
Well, David, always the picture of total confidence. You see, Luger, I had an opportunity to sit in the control room. I saw you out here tearing your shirt off, flexing your muscles, and making promises to the American public, pal, that I don't personally think you can back up. I, in turn, total composure, no vocal instrument whatsoever. I stand before you and the 10 million people that are going to pay money to see you and I tomorrow night battle for the most coveted trophy in sports. It is not the first time that I have been under the gun. Every time I got in that ring with Dusty Rhodes, the pressure was on. When I got in the ring with Harley Race, the pressure was on. When I got in the ring with Ronnie Garvin, the pressure was on. But the bottom line is, Jim Crockett looked at me 10 years ago. He said, Nature Boy, SRO, that means standing room only. And that's the way the American public is going to be tomorrow night. Because when that smoke clears and they hit that beat to 2001, pal, I'm going to bust in that ring. Woo! Looking as only I can look. Luger, tonight, I'm going to find me a beautiful woman, and I'm going to lay myself down, and I'm going to know what I have to deal with tomorrow. You, in turn, will lay in bed tonight in a cold sweat because you have to beat the champion. You have to beat Ric Flair. You have got to fulfill your dreams and your promises, as you said, of a lifetime. And in Baltimore, Maryland, think about it.
17,000 people live. The building is sold out. And I'm told by the people here at TBS that tomorrow night I might make $5 or $6 million to be the champion. Do you know why? Because 10 million people across this country are calling on the phone right now because they think that possibly you have a chance to become this. And my friend, in this sport, this is all there is. World championship titles. Not words, not money, not prestige, but my friend, if you love it like I do, you live for the glory of being called the world's heavyweight champion. Only one, believe me, only one. And tomorrow night, looking as old as I can look, I will remind you of one thing when it's all over. Diamonds are forever, and so is Ric Flair.
Do you want to be part of wrestling history? Call now.
What is the price for freedom? The Great American Bash 1988, The Price for Freedom, is a battleground where champions defend their titles at all costs, and the bloodthirsty contenders grapple for glory. Two living legends fight for their careers as Ric Flair takes on Lex Luger and Dusty Rhodes goes against U.S. heavyweight champion Barry Windham. Also featuring the first ever Triple Cage Tower of Doom match where 10 men struggle in a one-of-a-kind clash for honor. Plus, a 10 Lashes to the Loser tag team title match pitting the Fantastics against the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette in a straitjacket above the ring. And power meets power as Nikita Koloff and Sting tag up against the champions Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. In a country where freedom is everything, the Great American Bash 1988, The Price for Freedom, is an event you can't afford to miss.
This man's...
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Okie dokie, episode 484. It's the 11th anniversary of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Philly Rayan is in the house for you guys, as always. And I'm going to revisit this pay-per-view because it's the 35th anniversary this coming Monday. And it was a very pivotal part of my childhood. Because at the time, I'm 2 years removed from getting cable. And the UHF channel 68 in New York would play NWA, but it was like 6 months behind. So I really didn't get to see the Bash until it came out on video cassette, and then I had to see it again like towards Christmas time on U68, you know? So you know, the Great American Bash, we all know the premise. It was like a month long at that point, and they would have like the War Games cage matches and title matches, and they went a month, and they toured the entire country for a month. And they fought everywhere, like sometimes two and three times a week, you know. So it was that kind of party. But pay-per-view was in its infancy, and this was on pay-per-view. I didn't get a chance to see it, like I said, because we didn't have cable. But it was in the Baltimore Arena, which was host to several Great American Bash events. July 7th. 1988. It was the Baltimore Arena, 14,000 paid. Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross on the stick. It had a buy rate of 2.2. So that's not too terrible. Over 2 million people, right? If I'm doing my math right. And your opening contest was for the NWA Tag Team Championship. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard at the Four Horsemen with James J. Dillon defending against Nikita Koloff and Sting went to a 20-minute draw. I'm not going to play the end of it because it was There was no winner. So initially I was like, man, why didn't this have a winner? And I realized that they were defending the belts like all over the country, and they were advertised as the champions back then, you know, and they it was weird how Jim Crockett and all those guys booked it like that. But Nikita Koloff and Sting were unsuccessful taking the straps from Arn and Tully, who were amazing at this point, you know. So your next match is for the United States Tag Team Championship. Jim Cornette is in a straitjacket in a shark cage above the ring. I think it's the same cage they used at Capital Combat. Klondike Bill probably built the same cage for every event. Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan against the champions, the Fantastics. I don't want to go. The mixer's too far away. Push the effects for the Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics. There was a title change, and I'm going to play it right now for you. So let's do that.
Trying to come in. He's fighting both men now. Rolls him up.
The Midnight Express are your new United States Tag Team Champions. Jim Cornette dropped the chain from the top of the. He was in that shark cage and you know. Either way though, he got his lashings though. They whipped him. Either way, even though they didn't win the match, the Fantastics gave him his whooping with a strap. And Bobby Fulton took the chain, found the chain, started wrapping everybody with it. So now. Your next match is the Tower of Doom 10-man tag. And we've talked about this on the show a couple of years ago, and you know, it was a little different from the War Games match that they usually have. It was three cages stacked on top of each other with trap doors, and you had to make your way down in between periods, like, you know, almost like hockey. Dusty Rhodes explains it better on the War Games DVD if you have that. But it's a 10-man tag. Ronnie and Jimmy Garvin, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, with Paul Ellering, and Precious, who has the key at the bottom, the bottom level of the cage, to get out and win, versus Al Perez, Ivan Koloff, Russian Assassin 1, and the Varsity Club. Kevin Sullivan, Mike Rotundo, and they're with Gary Hart and number one Paul Jones, right? You heard the promos from Hawk and Animal. And so there was a I was gonna play this promo, but there was a weird promo with Precious, like the episode before the pay-per-view on WCW Saturday night. NWA Saturday night. And she was like, you know, she gets real defensive. Like, she slaps Jimmy and she slaps Sullivan. She's like, you know, you this, and like, it was almost like she was playing them both, and it was weird. And like, even Tony Schiavone was like, what the hell is she doing? And but there was a strange love, not a triangle, but like Kevin Sullivan was basically stalking Precious, who I believe was the real life wife of Jimmy Garvin. And this led to the cage match. And you heard Dusty's promo before I started the throwback with Dr. Death. And this match went almost 20 minutes. And I'll just play some of it now, shall we?
Doors will become unlocked. They have a chance to drop through. Rotunda's trying to come through. He's down. He's in there. The cage door opening on both levels. We're going to see who can make it through this time. The assassin. The Russian assassin is down. They're telling him to get out of there. Ivan Koloff is down. That puts it. Perez is out. If these two Russians will go outside, it'll be a 3-on-2 advantage. They only need to get two more men. Rotunda and Sullivan will have to get out. And they've got this one won. Now, that trap door is still open. Here comes Hawk. And two men were waiting on him. As you see, Dr. Death and Rotunda in the middle. Sullivan and Garvin up top. That's gorgeous, Jimmy Garvin. Three at the bottom. The Russians hate the Road Warriors. That's why they didn't leave. Right here, as front of the Great American Bash, a right hand Ivan Koloff. Look up top, Garvin's Sullivan fighting out, and now both the Russians double teaming Hawk.
Dr. Death and Rotunda in the second level. Two great former collegiate, two sports stars. And Hawk is trying to take out the Russians all by himself. And now Hawk.
Here it comes. It's unlocked. Sullivan is down there. Jimmy Garvin's going to follow him in.
Sullivan can barely walk. Sullivan's going for Precious. He can't even get to his left feet. She's kicking him, trying to get away from him.
The next man out will decide. Single leg pickup.
Garvin dropping the leg on the knee of Kevin Sullivan. Sullivan's going to be hard pressed to even get to his feet to crawl out to the floor.
It's a great move by gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Make sure the man cannot walk. There's no way to walk out. Brainbuster time.
She is unlocking the key. She is standing by.
choking her. It's like, if I can't have her, nobody can. This is sickening. Sullivan is sadistic. And Rick Steiner has control.
Yeah, so that was fun. It was cool because you saw the, Sullivan locking himself in the cage of Precious, and then they had to go, Hawk and Jimmy Garvin had to climb back up and get back down and dramatically save her, and it told a good story. The cage itself is weird. I always found it weird, but as a 13-year-old, I was like, holy shit, this was like the greatest thing ever, right? So, up almost 14, I was insanely obsessed with the NWA at that point, Mid-Atlantic, Jim Crockett. Like, every magazine I had to have, and then I would try to record the UHF 68 stuff, but they would switch it. Like, they would show that and then Florida Championship Wrestling from Florida, and it was a great and weird time to be a fan at the same time. So it was, amazing as a kid anyway. And it's one of my favorite events of all time, and I just wanted to revisit it because it's the 35th anniversary. All right, your next match is probably my favorite match of the night. Of course, for obvious reasons, the student versus the teacher. Barry Windham against the American Dream Dusty Rhodes for the United States Heavyweight Championship. Barry Windham is now part of the Four Horsemen. He is the United States champion. I ranked him as the greatest U.S. champion. Obviously, that would probably go to Luger because Luger had more reigns and more matches as the U.S. champion. But he was my favorite U.S. champion. And Dusty's trying to get the belt back. And the ending is shocking. And it was weird. Like, as a kid, you're like, wow, I can't believe that happened. Considering just a few minutes ago, like, something else happened. And, in the cage match. And then, let's take it to the end of it, shall we?
If there was any moment in his career that was important, it was this moment right here. Dusty Rhodes working on his second decade in this sport, and this perhaps the crossroads of a career that has spanned every corner of the globe. He has held every major title, but he's got to come back now for virtually insurmountable odds. And Windham, the young lion, is holding on still with that claw.
I think it's a tribute to Dusty. I don't think I've ever seen anybody last this long with a claw. Not taking anything away from the claw by Windham, but taking a lot into consideration the courage of Dusty Rhodes. He grabs for the hand. Here it is! Second time! Again! He's out of it! He's out of the claw! He's standing up! It's all again!
But Windham right back with a claw. Rhodes is going for the figure four. The United States champion and this claw. What an awesome combination. Barry Windham, 8 years as a pro. He has not reached his peak yet. The phenomenal days are ahead of this athlete. And with James J. Dillon's alleged guidance, there's just no telling what heights and what mountains this young man will scale.
He'll come out of this match learning a lot about his opponent and himself. There is no doubt. An important match for Windham, not only because wins or losses or titles are on the line, but because of who you're fighting and what you're going up against. He goes right to the midsection. Barry Windham takes another course. He is going to the superplex. You can see it. It is one of his moves.
If he nails this one, I guarantee it's over. Windham steps up off that rope with a little help of the American Dream. Tommy Young went all the way outside to the concrete floor. I hate to see this happen. No official in sight. is going up on top. Dusty's up with him. Dusty climbing the ropes.
Wyndham trying to get away from him. Wyndham maybe going to use a claw one more time right here. Rhodes, what a move. Rhodes slammed him from the top rope. The big elbow. Big Des has got him. Rhodes has got him, but no referee in sight.
15 minutes, mark.
Dillon up on the apron. Tommy Young still on the floor. Ronnie Garvin is in.
Standing on the top rope. But we're going to see right there. Wyndham came crashing down off the top. And I'll tell you something right now. Dusty Rhodes at this point in time had everything going his way, Tony. There's no doubt about it. The big elbow from Big Dust, nearly 300 pounds on Barry Wyndham. And this, baby, is history right here. But no referee in sight to make the tag.
You know, when Ronnie Garvin came into the ring, it was obvious, and we're going to see him in just a minute, that Dusty was saying, get the referee in the ring. That's what he thought his friend Ronnie Garvin was in there for. Then when Ronnie appeared, it was anything but get the referee in the ring.
Rhodes had Wyndham down for a 10 or 12 count, 15, 30, whatever you want to count. Rhodes had it won. Ronnie Garvin came to the ring. We thought to keep J.J. Dillon at bay. Dusty's telling him right here to get the referee. Get the referee. I've got him beat, and watch this. The big knockout punch, the right hand. Ronnie Garvin, you got to wonder what has stimulated his actions here. Why did Ronnie Garvin do just what we saw him do? All right, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, turn out. They have a camera in the back. Let's go back to the locker room. We're just about ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that we will have some important words from the locker room area in just a few moments. But right here, you're going to see. It was all over. Ronnie Garvin did that. The claw had really no consequence at the end.
Well, your winner and still U.S. Heavyweight Champion is Barry Wyndham. The knockout punch from Ronnie Garvin was the decisive factor in that. And one can only wonder what happened. You know, during the Tower of Doom, Ronnie Garvin got out awfully quickly. And then, of course, we didn't see him again. But right now, Bob Cottle is standing by. Let's go back to the dressing room.
All right, and while we're waiting to try to get some words as to just what happened with Dusty Rhodes and Dusty's feelings about this, Ronnie Garvin, which I'm sure really surprised the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, just like he did all of the fans here in the arena and the fans worldwide. Nobody expected that from Ronnie Garvin. Least of all did Dusty Rhodes expect it. It was a sucker punch all of the way as far as the American Dream was concerned. And, of course, staying with that, with it goes that United States Heavyweight Championship belt.
And
Yarvin getting the money. He evidently did it for money.
All right, so there you have it. Ronnie Garvin with the heel turn, taking the money from James J. Dillon. Gary Hart now affiliated with the Hands of Stone, who I can't stand anyway. But this is where I got those sound bites from. How about this one?
Well, Dusty Rhodes!
And then this one.
That there ain't nothing good that's ever come from that filthy, white trash, honky state of Texas.
That's right. I got those two clips from the promos after this event. So, there you go. Barry Windham retains the United States Heavyweight Championship. Dusty Rhodes is beside himself now. Now he has a new enemy in Ronnie Garvin and Al Perez and Gary Hart stable at that point. So now we go to the main event. Now, for the Heavyweight Championship of the World, the NWA Championship, of course, the big gold belt, Nature Boy Ric Flair, the champion defending against the Total Package, Lex Luger, who's been on his tail and who's been there every single week in his face. And now there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. These two, like Rick said, you got to walk that aisle, big man. You got the physique, the greatest physique in the business, but now you got to put it in the role all aside now. And all the butterflies and all the promos that were cut, it was so good. I actually thought Luger was going to win this match because it would have made sense if he would have won it, if you think about it. And again, I don't like Lex Luger, but I'm giving him his flowers because the way they set this up, he should have been world champion. At least they could have given him the belt at this bash, at this event, and maybe had him have Flair win it right back, like in a month at the tail end of the tour. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't work out that way, and I don't know. Well, let's find out why in a few seconds here. We're gonna play the end of this match. This is the main event of the Great American Bash. The Price for Freedom, 1988. The World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. The big gold belt. Nature Boy Ric Flair against the Total Package. Lex Luger. Let's check it out.
Dillon with a cheap shot. Luger's taking two shots to the head on a steel post. The champion of the world. Wrestling on one leg. But Luger has been busted open here. Not only has he been busted open, Jim, that is that same cut in just about the same place he suffered outside in Miami. You were there and you saw it. There's no way it had time to get fully healed in the same basic area. But Luger has been busted open here, and the state athletic commissioner standing up here. This is, what's he doing over here, Tony? The commissioner and the doctor are standing up. There he is. Is calling for the referee. Or the commissioner is calling for the referee.
Severe lacerations in the forehead of Lex Luger. Supervising Inspector Ray Iannucci and the attending physician, Mr. James Cochran, have stopped the match. The winner and still World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Over 16,000 fans here thought that it was all over with the Human Torture Rack. But prior to that, it was the blood, the laceration, stopped by the ringside physician and the commissioner.
A lot of pandemonium here, a great deal of confusion. Referee Tommy Young was told to stop the match by the state athletic commissioner as appointed by the state of Maryland. The athletic commissioner and the doctor sitting here at ringside, I saw them conversing. They got up and they wanted, and the crowd here quite obviously, very, very distraught. But the commissioner stopped the matchup. Luger had it. I thought Luger had the championship definitely in his grasp. A lot of states, they will not stop a match under these circumstances, Tony.
That's right.
In a lot of areas. But in Maryland, the athletic commission is so stringent here that with the blood and Luger busted open, that they had to stop it. That's their state rules as far as our athletic commission is concerned.
So there is the Warrior, seconds away from being the world champion, and all of a sudden, it is over right now for him, at least for now, because Ric Flair is still the world heavyweight champion. Now, you talked about the laceration. Well, there you see some of the fans here. Here is how it happened, and it was at the hands of Dillon, because when Luger went down, after that, he came back up. He was a different man.
You got to really feel for Lex Luger in this situation. He had the Nature Boy in the Human Torture Rack. It looked to me like Ric Flair was submitting. That was in my opinion. But Luger came back against all odds. James J. Dillon involved. Ric Flair. I mean, Flair was at his very best tonight in this situation with Lex Luger. Take a look at it right there. I'll tell you something. These people here are not very pleased with these athletic commission's decision here. But that's something that we're going to have to live with. Lex Luger's had to live with it the rest of his life.
Now, as soon as Lex Luger stood up, the commissioner was standing up, calling for referee Tommy Young, and then, of course, the decision was rendered. Everybody thought that Luger had won the match, but still, when we had looked, we had noticed that really the commissioner or Tommy Young had not checked with Flair that much to see Flair to submit.
Well, I want to. And there it is, the controversy. State Athletic Commission of Maryland stopping the match for the headlock on Luger's head, on top of Luger's head. James J. Dillon ramming his head into the ring post. Again, Tommy Young not seeing anything, even though he's the greatest referee of all time. He missed a lot of things in these high-profile matches. But yet, that's it, man. That's the Great American Bash, 1988 from Baltimore. So, as a kid, just polarized by, and then the videotape came out, and I rented it like once a month for like a half a year. I was just like, just ridiculous. But this was such a good time to be a fan, this saved me. Just sometimes I would walk away from stuff I was doing outside and be like, I gotta go, come home and I'd have a pop it into the VCR and just all my troubles were, away for 2 hours and 2.5 hours at one point, 3 hours, whatever, how long the pay-per-views were. These tapes saved me as a child, as an adult, and now as an old man. So I had to redo it because I was watching it and I was excited, and I was watching 1988 on Peacock of NWA, and I said, it's 35 years old this year, redo it. And then, and it was 4th of July, and I was thinking about Luger and the Intrepid happened almost 30 years ago this week, and I was almost there for that. I posted that on the page the other day, and not very proud of my country right now, but I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to have some of these freedoms, especially the podcast. And I want to thank all of our friends and family, and I want to thank the armed forces in general just for keeping us safe. And freedom is not free, obviously, but the price for freedom was paid at the Great American Bash in Baltimore. Dusty got his face knocked out by Ronnie Garvin. Luger gets robbed from the State Athletic Commission of Maryland. The Midnight Express lose their titles. Anderson and Blanchard retain their titles, and Precious and Jimmy Garvin are rid of the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. So there you have it. That's my throwback for this week for the anniversary show. Let's get out of here real quick and pay some bills. There we go. TermicalThrowbacks.com is the spot. Shining Wizards Network, RantEmRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, ProWrestlingTees.com/TermicalThrowbacks. You want to? It's Instagram and Twitter at TBuckleTBacks. And if you want to email us, TermicalThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Guys, I love you so much. Thank you very much for everything. Thanks for supporting me and the show. We'll be back soon. And keep a tight ass, all right? Don't get arrested. Avoid the clap. Enjoy your summer. If I don't talk to you guys, I probably will, though. And that's probably just... That's it, man. That's it. Take care. And don't jerk off. Good night, Gracie.